Lord's house tonight. Thank the Lord for the good singing. What a blessing. What a blessing. I always like to hear singing with when the Lord's blessing it. Amen. Touches my heart and helps me. Real good. Preacher's talking about how it was just a few years ago. A lot less music around here and things, but I'm glad the Lord blesses us when we're faithful and He takes care of those things that we need so much. And there won't be any preaching over in heaven the way I understand it, but there will be some singing.
Yes, sir.
A lot of singing, and I look forward to the singing. And I think it's a very important part of the service as well. And every way, it helps us and prepares us to open our hearts, you know. You know, we forget that part of the verse where it says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. That first part says, submit ourselves unto God.
Amen.
And singing and worship, praise, time of praise, helps us to submit ourselves and understand the necessity of humbling ourselves.
Yes.
I knelt beside a fellow about my age years ago, a young fellow then, praying and asking God to humble him. And it's not our position to ask God to humble us, because that's something He told us to do.
Right.
He told us to humble ourselves. But we are privileged to be able to ask Him. He'd got kind of mixed up on it. He had the right intentions. And He had a good heart and a plan. And He was trying to seek God's face. He just was praying wrong.
Yeah.
And we have to learn how to pray. And you know, the disciples asked Jesus, said, teach us how to pray. And we need to ask God to help us. God, do all the things You've told us to do and You've commanded us to do. God asked us to do some things, and then He tells us to do some things.
Yes.
And we want to look tonight, my heart's been in these days, on the action that we all need to have in our heart always is forgiveness. Forgiveness in our heart and our lives, not only towards others, not only accepting that forgiveness from others, but also being willing to forgive our own selves. We must always remember that harboring in our hearts, keeping in our hearts, not giving up and leaving it there, any type of unforgiveness will literally completely destroy your life as you know it.
Right.
And anything that you would like to keep that's there, when you begin to hold unforgiveness in your heart and in your life, will eventually be destroyed by leaving it there.
Sure.
You will not have power with God. You will not have the Lord hearing your prayers unless you repent. Unless you ask God to forgive you for holding back that unforgiveness or that forgiveness that should be going out of your life instead of leaving it as being unforgiven. We also need to remember that Jesus told us, or the Lord told us, that so many words that if we don't forgive people around us here in this world, in these days, in these times in which we live, no matter what it is or how they did it, or how long they've done it, or how it was and what they did, He will not forgive us up there.
Yeah.
How can we expect to be forgiven of all our sins and all our wrongdoing when we're not at the same instance and the same moment willing also to forgive others of their sin and their wrongdoing?
Yes.
Now, usually, sometime during the message, the different messages that God's allowed me to preach on this theme or this idea or this point that God's burdened my heart with of forgiveness has been this part. But I'll begin with it tonight in saying that God teaches us in His Word that people do things and they sin towards us, against us. We sin even towards others and towards God, not knowing what we're doing. We think we know what we're doing. We believe we know what we're doing. People, when they plan and premeditate to do wrong, which I believe someone right with God will not do, we or they, or we, or you, or I, we don't know what we're doing. Whatever it may end up being, whether it's knowing, or thinking you're knowing what you're doing, or you do it unintentionally, you know we should always ask for forgiveness. But the point is tonight, starting out here, that we understand that people, through the Word of God, that even Jesus, when He hung on Calvary's cross, when we heard them call out not for Barabbas, but said, keep Barabbas, keep the criminal, keep the one that's known to be wrong and in sin, keep the one that we know has hurt the community, and give us that one which we realize that it's only been told a lie and false testimony. And everybody that's judged him has said that he's all right. And I don't want any part of this. But they said, give us him that we might crucify him. Now, Jesus, as he hung on the cross, what did he say?
Yeah.
He said, forgive them.
Right.
What did he say? He said, forgive them. They know. Not what they do.
That's right.
I want to start off that way tonight for one simple reason. That anybody in here tonight that hasn't forgiven anybody in your life at any time, and you still left that there, or any time that anything would come up that you may have even planned, you said, well, if anybody ever did that to me, I just could never forgive them. Now, y'all hear me? And here's one from North Carolina. Well, preacher, I can forgive them, but I'll never, ever forget it.
Right.
And I heard someone say here recently, since we've been in, that God says He'll forget it, but because He's all-powerful, He doesn't. But He does.
Sure He does.
The idea of Him being all-powerful, He can do exactly what He says He wants to do and plans to do. And He chose by His great and almighty power to forgive us and also use that almighty power, which is not limited in any way, shape, or fashion, to forget what we've done.
Right.
Amen? He forgets it, and then He promises that in forgetting it, and in no way, shape, or form will it ever be held against us anymore. Amen? Never brought up anymore. So we want to turn our Bibles tonight, if you will. We want to read right quickly in one part over in the book of Acts in chapter 7. Book of Acts in chapter 7. And it refers to a man where we first see the words forgiveness in the Bible. Now, the first time we see the words forgiveness in the Bible are not in Acts chapter 7. They're over in the book of Genesis. But it's speaking about this man. We can read here a little brief story about his life tonight. When Stephen, that one that spoke similar words that our Lord spoke and about forgiving them, not laying this sin to their charge, Stephen, in the midst, in the process of being sinned against, had already processed forgiveness in his heart and in his life.
Yeah.
Now, we know some qualifications that Stephen had met because he was a deacon. He was one that worked in the church. He was a man that God had blessed. But he was also that man that the Bible tells us here that he was full of the Holy Ghost. And so, meaning this straightforward, you know, it's not this kind of thing. It's full of the Holy Ghost. It means a man that's completely led and instructed and guided by God, and God has always been manifested in his life. Now, when we're saved, God comes to live with us in our life and stay with us in our heart. But the difference between God being manifested in our lives, that word manifest simply means that God is being made known not only to us, but also to others around us, that they'll not see us, but they'll see God. Now, that's what we want tonight. We want to be saved. We want to know we're going to heaven. But we also want to know that God is with us in a manifested form.
Yes.
Now, we know tonight that the Bible says that the Word of God is manifest through the preaching of the Word of God. And we want every time we stand to preach that the Word of God might be made known unto our hearts and unto our lives. There is no reason that anyone should ever harbor unforgiveness. There is no reason that anyone should ever be bitter. Now, we can become bitter, but we should put that away from us by forgiving.
Sure.
Amen. As you see Stephen here tonight in Acts chapter 7, and we look in these verses here where it says in verse 7. I want to read verse chapter 7, verse 7, as it begins to talk about the times of the Old Testament. It goes through a testimony or an outline, if you will, and it emphasizes some things about some of these great people through the Old Testament as it comes up to our Lord. And as we see here in verse 7, it says, "In the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, and God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place." And he gave him the covenant of the circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Yes. And the patriarchs moved. Those patriarchs are all are Joseph's brothers.
Yes.
That's the 12 tribes of Israel. That's represented by the number 12 because the number 12 is the number of government.
Right.
God rules. God's in control. God's all-powerful, all-knowing, and always present. That's why we have 12 gates when we get to that heavenly city up there. It's that number that God is in control. God is always in control. Don't you worry about our government, but pray in these days that God will raise up leaders out of the church. Amen. That God will. We've gotten this idea in the last 30 or 40 years that we need to let government alone and just pray for them and don't need to be involved with it. And I say there is a separation of church and state, but the church is supposed to lead the state.
Right.
Amen. It's our fault. It's been our responsibility that prayer stay in public areas, and we have let our country down. And the reason and the purpose is for that is because we did not keep God in our private areas. We did not keep God in our private places. And in our homes, and when we were alone, and in our closets, if you will, in our bedroom, kneeling down beside our bed, or in an office, kneeling down by a chair, we did not pray as we should have prayed. We did not ask as we should have asked. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, it's as simple as the nose on our faces tonight that we don't have what we need in leadership and in government, whether it be financial or whatever it may be. We don't have those leaders which we need. Why? Because the Bible says we don't have them because we didn't ask for them.
That's right.
It says we have not because we ask not. Now, we are not limited in power. We have been given a divine power because I have been given the power to become who? The Son of God. Amen. I have been given a divine nature. And unto me has been given, 2 Peter chapter 1, all things that pertain unto godliness and righteousness to live a holy life that I might represent God in a right way. So we see here tonight as we begin to read a little bit more that we come upon that man called Joseph. That one in whom God used to point towards Jesus.
Yeah.
That one in whom God used to point towards the one that would save us all. Joseph saved his family and the whole known world at that time by what God had shown him. Jesus did not come to do his will, but to come to do the will of the Father. Amen. He came to complete, and that's why he said on Calvary's cross in another part, he said, "It is finished. It's finished the work that I've done." I'm glad where it says over there in Revelation, it said, "I'm done." Amen. I'm glad tonight when I leave here in this world that I can say, "I'm done." I'm glad that I'm saying, "I'm done," and I've done what the Lord would have me to do, not knowing that it wasn't me, that it was Him. As your pastor's already said tonight, that it's not us. It's always got to be Him. It's not you and us. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. And I want you to notice tonight in this verse, it touched my heart this morning about where Joseph was and where God was with him. It looks in verse 8, it said, "And gave him the covenant of the circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt."
Yes.
Now you say, "They did this and they did that and they did these things." And preacher, you just don't understand. I'm telling you right here, his 11 brothers sold him off into slavery.
Right.
I've had a lot of things done to me, but I've never been sold.
Yeah.
I've never been sold. I've never been a slave in that fashion. I've been a slave to sin. I have been. But as Paul said, I'm now a slave to Christ. Amen. And if we can be that slave in such a way that we'll never want to leave. You know, when those slaves over there in the Old Testament, they were given their freedom. They could take a thing, an auger-like thing, and wring their ear out right here in such a way that it would signify that they never, ever wanted to leave even though they were free.
Right.
Tear it down and pull her out tonight. I want to be with God. Amen. It's all the way better. Just like the children were singing tonight, those young ladies were singing so beautifully. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. He's worth more than anything this world could ever offer, anything this flesh could ever gain. Jesus is worth it all. I'm glad that unseen hand is working in our lives, aren't you? I'm glad tonight that that unseen hand, as we understand looking at the book of Esther, even though we never read about God in the book of Esther, we realize that God was working all the way through the book of Esther. I want you to realize tonight that even Joseph was being sold into slavery by his very own brothers. God that was working in Joseph's life in a very special way. Joseph, we know, the Bible said, was thrown into a pit wherein there was no water. In other words, it was a bad place. It was not a good place to be. It was a pit. It was a hole in the ground. To keep him there until he could be lifted out and sold off into slavery by his own flesh and blood, by his own family. Folks, tonight, things can look terrible. Things can look beyond what you can even imagine tonight. Things can look way, way yonder worse than anything we could ever think of or ever plan. We could ever watch on a horror movie. Hope you don't watch them, but anything we could ever see on TV or hear about on the radio or read in a book or somebody could sit down and just talk about it. I want to say, it can get worse than all that. And I want to say, if you're doing what God's telling you to do and you're willing to be lined up with Him no matter what, no matter how it goes, God's going to bless. God's going to help your life. He's going to touch your life. And He's going to be where with you. Amen. I'm glad tonight that God promised in His great and almighty power that He'd never forsake us and He'd never leave us. And the Lord is our helper tonight. And then we see in Joseph's life what it said. And the patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was where? God was with him. God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh. That's like in the sight of the world leader.
That's right.
The greatest world leader at that time, he was given wisdom and favor in his sight. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house.
That's right.
Now, it says there came a dearth over all the land. That's a famine and a hard time, dry times in Canaan. And great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. Nothing to sustain them, nothing to feed them, nothing to help them, nothing to keep them alive. But I thank God for the buts.
Yes, sir.
I thank God for those places in our life where God stepped in and said, but I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm glad God said, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. I'm glad God didn't come to condemn, but He came to save. Amen. I'm glad He came not to rule and say, you've done this and you've done that, but He commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Amen. It said, but when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he went out, our fathers first, and at the second, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls, 75 people. So Jacob went down unto Egypt and died, and he and our fathers, and were carried over in the Shechem, and laid in the sepulchre, and Abraham brought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father Shechem. I want you to notice back up there right quickly. then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob. You remember what Jacob said?
Yeah.
And all that had went wrong and all that had happened to him. He thought that some animal had eaten up his child. He thought that something really drastic had happened in his life when it had not. It had happened, but it hadn't happened in the way that he thought it had happened. Yeah. And he had been down and out ever since. He had been to the point of death in depression and downheartedness, but he continued to lead the family and he continued to do. And he thought Joseph was not. I'm glad over there where he said many, many times, he's not, he's not. But then he started saying, he is, he is, he is. I'm glad tonight, if we'll get to look at him, look for him, we'll get to seeking the Lord's face. The Bible says, if we'll seek him while he may be found, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm glad that Joseph tonight sent enough things up there that we might understand, that Jacob might believe, that he might have been able to go out there and look at the wagons full of the things that were sent to supply the need. Glory to God tonight, it's good to know that God's willing to take care of us if we're just willing to listen. We're willing to obey Him and do what He's told us to do. Folks, He told us tonight, and He showed us through the life of Joseph. I don't know of anyone in here tonight that's went through the things that Joseph's went through. You may have went through similar things. You may have had a hard childhood. You may be having a hard time right now tonight, but it does not give us any reason or any cause to become bitter at one another. One woman to become bitter at her husband, or one man to become bitter at his wife, or for teenage children to become bitter at mom and dad. Folks, I want to say tonight, God is bigger than all that. God, if we're willing to ask, we can have help in a time of need. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad tonight that God desires to help us in our lives. I want you to turn your Bibles over to the book of Genesis. There's right quickly, if you can, right at close to the end of the book of Genesis, you'll find the first time the word forgive is mentioned in the Word of God. And it's mentioned in a place where we see two types of forgiveness. We see faithful forgiveness and we see faithless forgiveness. We see faithful forgiveness. The faithful forgiveness came all the way back when Joseph was taken out of the pit and he was sold off into slavery. Immediately, Joseph was already in the very action of the sin that was being committed against him. He was forgiven his brothers. He was forgiven those patriarchs, if you will, as the very act was happening, because we see as soon as he gets over to Potiphar's house as a young man, as an older teenage boy, he was already being blessed with the Lord. The Lord was already had his hand in his life, and it said the Lord was with him over and over again there at Potiphar's house. And as he was committed sin against him again by Potiphar's wife, and as she screamed out that he had done something wrong and said lies and told lies against him, God Almighty was working and God was with him. We understand that all those times he didn't back up and say, I wouldn't be in this bad shape if it wasn't for my sorry brothers. No, he just forgave him and he forgot it.
Yeah.
And he went on with the life that he had at that time. He went on and he worked hard. He put his mind and he focused on what God had placed him in and where God, knowing that God was in control. Folks, we have to understand that wherever we're at, if we're in the will of the Lord, we can know God is in control. We can know that we can focus and we can work and we can do and we can be a blessing to our families, our children, our wives, our husbands, our friends, our family, on down through the line. But what happens so oftentimes is that even though we're saved, we get caught up in harboring unforgiveness in our lives. And unlike Joseph, we start allowing those things, bitterness and hardness, And those things start to come out of our life, and those things start to grow in our life. Instead of goodness growing in our lives, there was a man, as far as I understand it, reading about him a little bit, seemed to be a man that had courage and seemed to be a man that had great convictions with God. His name was Oliver Cromwell. And he was known as the Lord Protector of England. He was like a type of general that led the soldiers and the forces over there during that time to protect that land. And he was very successful in all that he did. And they said the Lord was with him and the Lord helped him.
Yeah.
He made a statement. Where I'm going with that is, he made a statement. He said, he who stops being better stops being good.
It's good.
He who stops being better stops being good. It goes right along with the Word of God. You're either going towards God or you're going away from God.
Good.
I know good and well that week that I was here in a meeting that I preached about, we never stop in a backslidden spot. We're always, as the Word of God says, we're either backsliding, we're either continual action away from God, or we're in a continual action towards God.
Right.
There is no stop position. I say, I'm just right here and God's right there, and I'm just going to stay here right here a while, and it'll be okay, and before long I'll get back to where I need to be. No, if you're going away from God, you're in a constant continual action going away from Him. Why? Because the Word never uses the past tense term of the verb backslidden.
Yeah.
Never uses that word. It always says backslidings.
Yeah.
It's a continual action away from God. Glory to God. We don't have to be going away from Him, because He said, if you will draw nigh unto me, He promised, I will draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
I say, glory to God. Joseph, there in these days, he drew nigh, and God drew nigh to him. And I can see him as he longed to see his mother and his father, and to see his brothers. I know that Joseph was drawing nigh to God. Why? Because we see God was with him, and He gave him favor and wisdom in the eyes of everyone that was around him. Potiphar knew where he was a slave, knew that God was with Joseph, and He placed him over everything in his household, and God blessed. Amen? Throw in one thing right there. When you're in the favor of the Lord, you just don't get the regular blessings. You get special blessings.
Good, preacher.
Amen?
That's good.
Special blessings. I don't know about you, but I just don't want the regular blessings.
Yeah.
Regular blessings, you get to sit down and eat breakfast, dinner and supper at the house. You get to take a bath. You get to have a bed to lay in and sleep in and get up and have heat and air conditioning when it's provided. And all those things that go with living in a household of a man and a woman that's married, and God's blessing.
Yeah.
I want to say there's a difference when special blessings come by.
Sure.
Amen. There's a difference. The Bible says the rain rains on the just and the unjust alike. That's a blessing that it rains. But glory to God, I'm glad when God sweeps by, and I know the one that made the rain fall, and the one that He lets me know, and He hugs up tight on my heart and on my life, and gives me that courage when I'm discouraged, takes me out of a depression and lifts me up and puts me on high and shows me that the valley's not so dark when we're walking with the light. I'm saying God tonight has special blessings for His children if we'll only listen. Amen. Glory to His name. Amen. Here in Genesis 50, I said we see a very good example. And all through these chapters prior to chapter 50 here, we see faithful forgiveness from Joseph. It was not only at Potiphar's house, but at the prison, but also when he got to the palace. And I say, glory to God, God bless Joseph, because he was faithful in every circumstance, whether it was those two men that he gave him the dreams down there, the baker and the cup holder, and told him, and he sold that one, the one died, you know, just a couple days later. But the other went on back to the palace. Joseph didn't sit over there and grieve that thing and get all mad and upset. Well, I told him what was going to happen to him, and it happened. And there he's went over, and it's been a month. It's been 2 months. It's been 6 months. It's been a year. You know that joker, sorry. He forgot me back here, and here I am still in prison, and he's free. Joseph didn't do that. He just forgave him and said, well, that's the way it is. He don't really know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Amen. He just don't really know what he's doing. God lets us understand when anybody does anybody wrong, or we've done anybody wrong, when it all boils down to it, we're just going to have to admit we just didn't really know what we was doing and what it was going to cause, and how it was going to feel, and how it was going to hurt, and where it was going to end up, and all the consequences of being bitter and hard and acting that way towards one another. Folks, I want to say there's no reason for anybody in any place at any time ever to be mad or upset for any given amount of time that they reached the point of sin. The Bible said anger and sin what? Not. Amen.
Yes, sir.
If we look here tonight and we understand that Joseph was faithful in his forgiveness, we see in chapter 50 also an example of faithless with forgiveness. Faithless with forgiveness. Look in verse 15. It says, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, Jacob they're talking about, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly require us of all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive. That's the first time the Word of God is mentioned, the word forgive. And so when we have first mention in the Word of God, normally as a rule, they call it the rule of first mention, it's when it's mentioned, we need to remember that it would carry that idea throughout the Bible.
Good.
Throughout the Word of God from here on, that we might understand that we need to not be faithless with our forgiveness. In other words, we need to always believe and trust that forgiveness is possible in every instance, every circumstance of our lives.
Good.
And we always need to believe and trust, because that's what faith is, believing and trusting. Amen.
Amen.
We always need to believe and trust that no matter what we've done, God is desiring and more willing than we even we are ourselves to give us forgiven than we are to even receive it.
Good.
Amen.
Amen.
So understanding that this part right here tonight is very important. That we don't just get caught up in what someone would say, that's a nice little story. It's pointing us to a greater truth that we might understand tonight that we never, ever, never need to live one day, one moment in a type of unforgiveness. We need to have a heart that at any moment, at any time, for everything and anything, no matter what it is or how it is, we're willing and desiring to forgive and also to forget. I say glory to His name. God has given us that power. Paul talked about that power which he was given in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
Now that's not to put that over on Jesus or on the Christ, on the God. He said we need to do it ourselves through Christ.
Yes.
That's the thing which will strengtheneth us. We can say who strengtheneth us, and it puts it back on God. God has already finished His part in what He was supposed to do, and He has given us that power which we can use through Christ to do whatever needs to be done. That's to forgive everybody about everything, anything, anywhere, at any time, no matter how long it's been or what they've done or how much they planned it.
Good.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to His name. God wants us to always forgive, no matter what it is. That's why He told the disciples seven times 70.
Yeah.
Well, that's 490, my mind says real quick. That's 490. Well, he's 491. He's out of here.
Go ahead, brother.
No, that's not what it means. It just means completely on top of completeness.
Good.
Forgive him over and over, unlimited amount of times.
Good.
He said if he comes, he repents, give him forgiveness. I've been learning, if they don't ever even come and repent, they never even come and say they're sorry, just like Joseph did, go ahead and forgive them.
Good.
Jesus prayed, if we're following Jesus, and we're supposed to be following the steps of Jesus, amen?
Right.
We're supposed to be denying ourselves, you hear me? We're supposed to be denying ourselves to be not saved. Not to be saved, not to be sons of God, but Jesus said to be disciples that we must deny ourselves, then take up our cross and follow Jesus.
Amen.
And in the process of denying ourselves, we're going to do it like Jesus and follow Him. Jesus said on Calvary's cross when the most sin was ever brought to one point and all sin of the whole world, past, present, and future was brought and culminated and brought together upon our very Lord that He sweated blood. Just a few hours before, we know and understand tonight that God said Himself as He hung on Calvary's cross in the flesh of man without ever sinning. He stood alone and He said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do in the very process of doing it. And also with sins that I'd never even committed, God was saying Himself on Calvary's cross as Jesus saying, forgive him. He don't know what he's doing. I want to tell you, oftentimes as a little boy, I was growing up, and I had to tell my daddy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't really understand or know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Potiphar's wife, as we started out on that fall tonight, she was over there, and she grabbed and she screamed and she hollered and she lied and sent Joseph off to a prison. The reason why her house was being especially blessed.
Right.
Amen. The reason she was receiving special blessings during those years, she was sending him off to prison.
Yeah.
She didn't know what she was doing. Right. And she also didn't know if she had some little ones in her own mouth and her own mother and her own dad, her own brothers and sisters, and her own husband, whoever else that she actually could have loved during those days, I was going to die if it was not for that man Joseph.
Right.
She didn't understand what she was doing, even though she thought she was knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
Even though she planned and premeditated how she was going to do it before her husband even got to the house. I say, God tonight, God said she didn't know what she was doing, and the proof's in the pudding. She would have never done it if she'd have known it was going to kill everybody that she knew.
That's right.
But I said, God's in control.
Yes, He is.
She meant it for evil, and God meant it for good.
Yes.
Them boys over there, Joseph's brothers, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It is not a mystery.
That's right, preacher.
It's the truth.
Yes. Amen.
It's not something to wonder about. It's the truth.
Yes.
God said, we must have. We must give. We must receive. We must learn and understand completely about how to use, how to accept in our own selves and also from others and from God, how to ask for forgiveness.
Yes.
Forgiveness.
Amen.
Forgiveness is a necessity to be powerful with God.
Amen.
It's a necessity to be able to pray and get answers from God. Any form of bitterness in our lives, we are disobeying God by leaving that there, and that form of bitterness only comes through unforgiveness.
Yes, sir. That's good, preacher.
Help us tonight.
Yes.
That our lives would show forth those orders that we were given out, that we were given to us in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 32. Look here tonight, we're going to read that in just a second, but let's finish 17 here in chapter 50. It said, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of thy father. And Joseph, what did Joseph do? He wept.
Yes, he did.
He didn't weep because of the sin they did against him. He'd done forgiven that and forgotten it.
Yeah.
He did not weep that day because of all that had went on over the years. He wept just like the time we saw in the shortest verse in the English Bible. It says, when Jesus wept.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Jesus was there. It was a time of death also, but it was also a time of new beginnings and new life. And as he called him out, you remember he called Lazarus out?
Yeah.
And before he called him out, they said, well, he's dead. He's done been dead 4 days and he already stinketh. Y'all remember?
Yes, sir.
And in that damn time they thought, you know, after 3 days, when he hit the fourth day, there's no coming back. There was no way of that turning around. But they didn't understand that Jesus was there and He is life itself.
Yep.
And it said, and He wept. You know why He wept? He wept because of their unbelief. He wept because when we have unbelief, we don't have faith. And the Bible says, it's impossible to please God without faith.
That's right.
Amen. So they didn't have faith. They didn't trust in the very Lord and the life and life itself that stood there before Him, the one that created man Himself and gave breathed life into His nostrils, help Him stand up and give Him a life and give Him all the things that He ever had and build a world around Him in 6 days. They didn't believe that was Him standing there in the flesh. I say they didn't believe. Just like Joseph's brothers right here, all these years had done been went by. All their little ones had done been fed. And the people had done grown and grown into a great multitude at this time. It wasn't 75 souls anymore. It was many souls. And many years have gone by and they'd been living down in Egypt because God was using Joseph to take care of them and to save them alive. I want to say glory to His name tonight. Joseph didn't weep because he was mad. Joseph didn't weep for any of those reasons like people normally weep when it comes over sin done against them. Joseph wept simply because his brothers all these years had never, never believed.
Yeah.
That's why he wept.
Amen,
he did. They did not believe and they did not trust that anyone could possibly forgive them for something as great as they had done in those days. People sit before me tonight. People sit before me tonight are in that very position that have not yet, even after all these years, they have not believed that Jesus came not to condemn you.
Yeah.
Jesus came not to leave you in your sin.
Yeah.
He came to love you. He came to help you.
Yes,
and He came to forgive you for every sin you'd ever done or ever will do. He came for that reason.
Yeah.
He came. There's people sits before me tonight that's not saved because they have yet to believe with all their heart, with all their mind, and trust Him as their Lord and Savior. And I say tonight, with all your heart, with all your mind, if you ask Him, the Bible said, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. I'm glad tonight we don't have to go through life as a saved person in a bitter way, in a hard way.
Yeah.
I'm glad tonight, that we don't have to live a life like it talks about over in Ephesians chapter 4 and the old man living the deceitful lust without God. I'm glad we can live a life with God, knowing the truth and knowing what's real. I'm glad we can ask God, God, take all this bitterness away from me. God, help me get rid of it. God, help me not anger. God, help me not have no evil clamor. God, help me not have thoughts of malice or evil things or attitudes or actions in my heart or mind. God, help me do what it says in Ephesians verse 4 and 32. Help me be kind one to another, tender-hearted, and forgiven others as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. I'm glad tonight God forgave us, but He has a commandment for us, for those that are living for God and with God, that we be kind, that we be tender-hearted. It is not something He is asking us to do. We cannot only live forgiving one another, but we have to live those prerequisites. We have to live those things that come before. We have to be willing to be kind.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't know what's went on in the last 10 or 15 years, but we've had a lot of preachers, so-called, that may have been called to preach, but many of them stand behind the pulpit and they're not nice.
Yeah.
They're not compassionate. They don't preach in love. They don't preach in power. They preach in a lot of mouth and a lot of hardness and a lot of bitterness and a lot of built-up sin in their own personal lives.
Yeah.
And they're not kind, but they're mean.
Yeah. You're right.
They're just flat-out mean. I'm talking about preachers.
Yes, sir.
Mean. And you know what? You know why they stay where they stay and they go where they go? Because we got a bunch of mean people wanting to hear.
Yeah.
Huh? That's right. They wouldn't go up down the road without gas in the tank. We slap the money off and play and give it to them. Go on, be mean somewhere else.
Yeah.
Huh? You know, he's a pretty mean fella, but you know, he told me some things that helped me a little bit.
Go ahead.
I want him to tell me a whole lot of things that help me a whole lot.
Yes,
and I want him to be nice while he's doing it. Amen. Amen. I didn't ever want my daddy to grab me, Brother Levi, and slap me all over the head and bang me down and say, boy, you better listen. He'd grab a hickory and pop me on the rear end a couple times. And tears rolling down his face wishing he didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
Huh? Tell you the whole big difference in grabbing them and slugging them in the head. Huh?
Go ahead.
There's a whole big difference that, you know, I hate this and I hate this and I hate this. I want to say, son, I love you. And I want to help you. And there's a different way to do everything that we do and it can be done kindly. Amen. The Bible teaches us that kindness comes out of love. Kindness comes out of love. Turn your Bible real quickly over where you can mark it in your Bible. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Now I'm finishing up tonight. I'm going to read you these definitions where you can have them in your heart. This is a verse that led me this way these months that we've been in, and I've studied and looked, and God's helped me and blessed in this thought of the necessity of forgiveness in our life. I do not want to ever go through any more days in my life ever, any moment of any time, with faithless forgiveness, not believing that God won't help me forgive somebody, not believing that God won't help me help someone else that they might be able to forgive others also. Amen. I don't want to ever go through life anymore forgetting that God has forgiven me.
Amen.
We're not going there tonight, and I preached it here before over in 2 Peter chapter 1 about how they forgot that they were purged from their old sins. And they became blind and could not see afar off. If you remember, those that were here during those days of meeting, that Eli came blind and couldn't see, and his boys died, and his daughter-in-law died, and his little grandson was named Ichabod, and the glory of God departed. That's what Ichabod means.
Yeah.
Why? Because he forgot that God had saved him and forgave him of his old sins. He became blind. Isaac became blind, thought he was a dying, and thought he would bless, put his blessing on Esau, but he ended up putting it on Jacob because he could not see.
Right.
He couldn't see physically. It was a spiritual example of how he lived. People only gave out their blessings when they was about to die. As far as I can study and understand, it was about 43, I believe, years before he ever died. Almost as long as I believe. It might have been 47, but it was over 40 years. 43, 46, 47 years. About as long as I've been living, he lived again after he gave out his blessing and telling them about he was a dying. I want to say, there's a lot of people I go around a lot of times, and they seem like they're going doing all right compared to people I see down at the rest home or over at the hospital, or I read about and even in a book that was sick and lived a long time, and they're talking about dying all the time.
Yeah.
I want to say they're in a bad place. They're not believing and trusting that the Lord's willing to help them. Amen.
Right.
We keep sickness and keep things around our lives a lot of times because of our personal relationship with the Lord is not where it would he would have it be. Ephesians chapter 4, and I do know what time it is, chapter 4 and verse 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All those attitudes and actions that are evil. And here's the order. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. First part of the chapter is talking about the old man. Verse 24 starts into talking about the new man. It says in verse 27, don't give any place to the devil. Amen. If you leave one little old thing unforgiven towards somebody else, even towards your own self in your life, you're giving a place for the devil to destroy your life and your family, your church and your community. Your life has an impact on everyone around you. The devil will tell us a lie. Say, well, if you do this, it's only going to affect you. Anything you do affects everybody, all the people you know and all the people you don't know, it affects them. It does.
Yes, sir.
We can't never think it's just going to be with us, because the way you act after you do it, it's going to affect even the things you do afterwards.
Right.
And when you're going to do it, or if you end up doing it, the way you was acting before you ever got to that point to do something like that was affecting everyone and everything you said and everything you heard also.
Yes.
Folks, don't never believe the lie that it's going to be okay if you do wrong. Don't never believe the lie, well, they'll never find out and you can do it. I want to say God knows everything. The Bible says, and he gives us a promise. Basically, is what he's doing. He said, your sin will find you out.
Yeah.
There is no hiding sin. There is no lying to get by with. There is no doing anything that's wrong and getting by with. I have found out from my own self that everything that I've ever done seems like some way comes back to get me.
Sure.
Comes back to get me. You know what I pray? I do something wrong and I figure it out. God shows me that's wrong. I say, God, make those crooked things I did today straight. God, erase those things from those people's mind that it won't hurt them. Lord, God, forgive me. Help them. Help them only see the things and understand the things that will be a blessing to them. Amen. Folks, I want to say we've got to live a life that can be used by God in every moment of every day, because I know you are and I am tired of hearing us say, preacher, pray for my family, my lost loved ones. I try to reach them, but I'm just not able to. You know why? More times than not, they know who you are. They see you haven't changed in a lot of ways that you need to have changed. They notice when you're not listening because you're not listening.
Yeah.
They understand that you're acting the way you're acting, and they're seeing you. See, if they see me, or they see you, or they see us, that means they're not seeing God.
Right.
Right? And they don't never need to see you or see me or see us. They always need to see Jesus.
Yes.
They said, I don't know what's happened to Leroy, and I don't know what's happened to Joanna over here, but they just don't act like they used to act.
Yeah.
And after they get to seeing that consistently and diligently in a person's life, continually on and on, day after day and month after month, I want to say, glory to God, it breaks conviction.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about being high-headed. I ain't talking about being legalistic. I'm talking about being full of love, and it'll flowing off your life and a flooding the place every time you go in. And they feel Jesus. They feel like, what was his name? It was up the tree. What was his name? Zacchaeus up the tree. Jesus didn't look up there and say, fella, you stole and you cheated and you've done this. You're just a little squirt. Get down from there. I'm going to pop you in the head. No, he didn't say that. He said, come down, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was all interested in it, and because he'd done felt that love coming off the Lord because he is love. Amen. And Zacchaeus came down. He said, let's go up to your house and sit down and talk, and we'll have dinner if it'll be all right. Amen. And he went over there and he fellowshiped with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus came out of his dining room, saved man, glorifying God, said, anything I've ever done wrong to anybody, I'll pay it back. And if I've done it wrong in a wrong way, I'll give it back four times. I say, glory to his name. Saving a man will change his nature.
Yeah.
Amen. Saving a man will change him into a God-natured man. It'll make him a new man. 2 Peter again, chapter 1, said God has given us a divine nature. Preacher, I just can't forgive him. We're only human. B.B. Wrong answer. I am not only human anymore. God has given me the power, and I have become and I have been born into the family of God. And all old things are passed away, and I am now, presently, and will forever be a new creature in Christ Jesus, being renewed day by day, every day, to walk in the newness of life, in the newness of spirit. And I say glory, hallelujah to the King. I'm with God, part of God. God lives in me, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can, we should, we need to, because others, our relatives, our friends, our families, our moms and dads, many times our sisters, our brothers, are dying and going to the devil's hell. Why? Because we won't be kind, we won't be tender-hearted, and we won't forgive everybody for anything and everything all the time, don't matter what they do, how they did it, or how long they done it. Amen.
Amen.
God wants and desires our lives to be like Christ.
Yes, He does.
And in doing so, God's going to save people around our lives. He's going to glorify His Son in your life. And He's going to make sure that people knows that God is with you.
Yes, sir.
And He will put favor and He will give you wisdom to live and to walk and to do. That'll be overflowing out of every direction and flooding your life, that everybody will have to realize God's with him. I can tell he's an ignorant and unlearned man. He hadn't studied over some college, but I know he's been with Jesus. Amen. He's been with Jesus. That's what they said about Peter and them crowd, didn't they? They said, we can tell this and this and this, but we can tell they've been with that fella called Jesus. Because they're acting just like he acted, and they're talking a talk and a walking a walk just like he talked and just like he walked. Amen. God wants you and I tonight to live a life that we're kind. Amen. Quit looking around and judging everybody for how they live and how they walk. And you live a life and quit measuring yourself by others. But don't be, the Bible says, doing so is not wise.
Yes.
But measure ourselves by the Lord. Compare ourselves to the Lord and you'll always come up lower. You'll always come up shorter.
Yeah.
And we need to grow. And we need to mature. And we need to learn. And we need to understand. And we need to continue to follow Him. And to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Amen. He is the mark of the high calling. He is that bullseye, if you will, that we have to hit day by day. If we don't hit it, to miss the mark is to sin. If you don't hit the bullseye, the Bible teaches, is a sin.
That's right.
You got to hit it right in the center. You say, you mean I can hit it right in the center with Christ, through Him, which strengtheneth us? We can hit the center every day.
Yes, sir.
If we'll seek Him first. If we'll seek Him first in all His righteousness, He said, I promise I will add all other things
unto you.
Amen.
That's a good shooting arm. Amen. That's a tongue under control. Don't matter if they're stoning you and they're beating the flesh off your body and your skull's busting out and your brains are coming out of a shell and you're looking down and skin's being beat off like Stephen was. That's where we started at.
Yeah.
He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.
Yeah.
He said, forgive them. And he looked up and the Lord stood up on the right hand of the Father.
Yes, He did, brother.
Looked down. He was pleased.
Yeah.
In other words, God wants you to do that way. Faithfully believing that God controls it all.
Yeah.
You do not ever have to get revenge. Y'all hear me, boys? You don't have to get revenge. The Bible said, revenge is mine.
Yeah.
If you will get out of the way, God will take care of all those that stand against you. Now don't laugh when he goes to get them, because he'll turn on you and said, you're next, boy.
Yeah.
That's basically what it says in simple, everyday country English.
Yeah.
You pray for them, that they'll understand what you understand, and they'll see Jesus as their Savior also. But Jesus said clearly and plainly, the Lord said, revenge is mine, thus saith the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to get them back. You don't have to make it equal. You don't have to make it right. If you forgive them, you'll understand that they can't never pay you for it anyway.
You're right.
They can't never make it up anyway. There's no way to make it up.
Yeah.
We can only take from this day forward and live a life. He said, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, he had to forget those things which he stood there and oversaw with Stephen that day.
Right.
He had to forget all those sins where he did it against the church and he carried all those people back to prison. He had to forget what he did. And he said, and reaching towards those things which are before. Glory to God, that's what I want to do today. I want to reach towards those things which are before. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better daddy. I want to be a better brother. I want to be a better son. Amen. I want to be a better brother in Christ. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better teacher. I want to be a better one that comes and serves and does and lives in the community. I want to be a better friend. Amen. I want to be kind and tender-hearted. I say, glory to God. That word tender-hearted, I got to get done. That word tender-hearted.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, are your hearts yet hardened? That's what it said, Brother Jason. He said, are your hearts yet hardened?
Yeah.
You know why their hearts were hardened and not tender like the Lord wants them to be, like He wants us to be? They forgot that the miracles that Jesus had been doing in their lives. He said, you forgot about the loaves and the fishes. You forgot about the miracles of the loaves and the fishes where I fed the 5,000 and their wives and their children. And probably over 20,000 people. He fed with just a little boy's lunch there that had packed up and brought over, and he's the only one that had anything. But the Lord took that and especially blessed it in a special way and fed all those people, took up all those baskets running over afterwards. Y'all remember?
Yeah.
Y'all remember? They forgot. And they became hard-hearted. He said, are your hearts yet hardened? Why? We forget the miracles. Over there in 2 Peter chapter 1, it said they forgot that they were purged from their old sin. The first miracle God ever does in anybody's life in a way that you should never forget is when He saves you.
Right.
That most important day of your entire life that's going to set up your eternity is when God saves you. If we ever forget that, we'll forget everything else God did for us, and we won't forgive anybody for anything, and we'll be hard-hearted till the day we die. And yes, we will go to heaven, because we're not going to heaven because we have soft hearts. We're not going to heaven because we love God. You listen. We're not going to heaven because we love God in any way. We're going to heaven only because God loves us, and we're staying saved only because God loves us.
Good.
Amen. God saved me that night. I didn't even understand all about loving Him, but He came and saved me anyway. Amen. And every time I've ever been wrong, He kept on loving me. I didn't get lost again like some of this crowd wants to say. I can't go back over there to Gastonia in the hospital and be unborn from my mother, which now her name is Carolyn. I can't be unborn from her, and I can't be unborn from the living Lord. Amen. You've been born into this world one time physically, and you can be born into this world one time spiritually. You're saved, and you're saved forever and ever and ever. Whatever you do, whatever you've done, God will forgive you and help you get lined back up, get right, get close, and have power with Him as one of His children. I'm glad He gave us that example in there when the boy was coming down the street. And they said, he looks like he's coming up the road. And the daddy was looking, and he run down through there, and he hugged that prodigal son, and he fell about his neck, and he said, he did what? And he kissed him, and he kissed him, and he kissed him, and he kissed him. And I believe he kissed him a couple more times, and hugged him, and picked him up, and kissed him again. Amen. I say, glory to God. God wants to hug on you and love on you and show you and give you everything you need. There's no way and no reason you should ever stay in a downhearted position. There's no way you should ever, no reason you should ever harbor unforgiveness in your life. You should always be willing to run to the Father, just like when Peter needed help and he was going down and he lost his faith and he looked at the trouble of the waves and the wind. I say, glory to God. He said, Jesus. And immediately Jesus reached down and lifted him up and took him to safety. I say, God's always there, and He's always our help in a time of need. Kindness. I'm going to read it to you. An outward expression of love, where? In the heart. And applies to all contacts and every situation of life. Everybody you come in contact with, everybody you talk to, everybody you're around, it applies. Outward expression of something that exists in your heart. Love.
Yeah.
How do we know love exists in our hearts? The Bible says, if you keep my command, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It says, if you love me. It don't say if you're saved. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you love God. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In other words, if you don't listen to what God tells you to do, you don't love Him. So if love's not in there, what's in there?
Yeah.
If it's not light outside, it's what?
It's dark.
If it's not clean, it's what? It's dirty. There is no in-between. There is no gray area. There is no permissive will. You're either in the will of God or you're out of the will of God. You're either going towards God or you're going away from God. Amen. You're either right or you're wrong. There is no gray area. So we must understand tonight that God desires for us to understand when we obey Him and we do His commandments, we love Him. And that love, from that love, it generates kindness. It generates kindness. And that kindness will come out. It will come out. And in contrast to that, kindness is gracious. Kindness is gentle-mannered. Kindness is good, has a good disposition. Kindness has good intentions. As opposed to being harsh, hard, bitter, and sharp.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Sure.
Y'all ever had anybody be sharp toward you? Huh?
Yeah.
It cuts you, don't it? Huh? It hurts. When they're hard or they're harsh, as opposed to those things. Listen to this. This was a real blessing to me when I found this out. The word forgiveness comes from the same root word as the word grace. From the very same root word that the word grace comes from. And you know that nobody deserves grace.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
It's unearned favor. It's an unearned gift. It's an unearned blessing. It's an unearned something given. About, you know, the definition says unmerited.
Yeah.
Huh? In other words, you didn't do anything to get it. God just gave it to us and we're saved. How? By grace. It's not of anything that we can boast, of any works that we can boast, but it is a what of God? It's a gift of God. It's a gift. I got some gifts for Christmas and I didn't pay for them. They just gave them to me. You know, people say, God gave me that car. Well, are you making payments? Oh, yeah, I'm making payments on it. He didn't give it to you then. He might be in the process of giving it to you. But it's not being given yet because it's still in the bank's name. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, we want everything to be in order and understand it. When God gives us something, it's given to us.
Right.
It's free, it's full, and it's final. Now listen to me tonight. Our forgiveness towards everybody and our forgiveness from God is this way. It's free. There's no charge. You can't pay for it. You can't do it. It's just like grace. We receive it and know we got it. It's free. It's complete. It covers every area. And you can't say, well, I'm going to forgive them for all this, but I just can't do this part. It's got to be complete. It's got to be full forgiveness. And then after all of it's said and done, it's got to be just like Jesus. God said He's going to cast it as far as the east is in the west. Another part over, another verse, another book actually in the Bible. It said He'll cast it into the depths of the sea. Never remember it against us anymore.
Yeah.
It's final.
Amen.
Remember, every time you forgive somebody, and remember every time God forgives you, it's free. Amen. It's full. You say, God, I'm going to make this up to you if you just forgive this to me. Forgive me. I'm going to make it up. No, you don't have to pray that way.
Yeah.
Because you cannot make it up to Him.
It's good.
He just wants you to take hold right now, forget that what's behind you, and reach towards Him and heaven, and all your hope and help will come from Him, and you can do what you need to do through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Amen. Tenderheartedness. Tenderhearted, merciful, compassionate. There is a willingness to be understanding of and patient with the faults and failures of others. Ready to put kindness into action. That's tenderheartedness.
Thank God.
That's tenderheartedness. The necessity of forgiveness.
Yes.
Faithful with it is what we need to be. If our children, if our families, our friends, our relatives are going to be saved, we can never, ever be seen being faithless. Not believing and not trusting that forgiveness exists for every circumstance of life.
Yes.
You know and I know, wives are, many of them are having a hard time. And us as husbands, we're not helping them like we should. The Bible says that the wife should submit herself under her husband. And the Bible also says that the husband should love his wife like Christ loves the church. And the Bible also says that the wife is a weaker vessel. She's weaker. So when you're feeling it, husbands, and it's being hard on you, it's already passed hard on her. When it's getting hard on you, it's done went too far on her. If you said, you're going to love her, you're going to cherish her, you're going to keep her, you're going to stay with her through the thick and the thin, the bad and the worst, the sickness and the health, and all those things it says, as we say, I do too. Cherish her. Know she's valuable. And use her to help you, to be a blessing. But don't forget to study and ask God to help you men know how to love your wives like Christ loves the church. And He always does that with forgiveness ready at any time for anything. No matter what, God does it. Because He loves us. And He loves us forever. Never and ever and ever. He loves us. And those wives, God helping them and you praying for them, they're going to do what they need to do. And they'll be a blessing and a help made in the home. And they'll be, what is it? Proverbs 31. They'll be manifested in our presence, in our homes. And those ladies will be those ladies that God gave us an example of in Proverbs 31. Amen. They'll be a help in the community, and everywhere she goes, God, people will see God in her life. Why? Because her husband's taking care of her. He's cherishing her and He's loving her like Christ loves the church. Amen, folks. Be kind to one another. Boys, be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Girls, don't be bickering and fighting. Be kind. Be nice. Remember, sometimes things aren't easy for the other and they're not feeling good that day. They don't understand why. But always remember, this has helped me more than anything. When it all boils down to it, when somebody does you wrong, they didn't really know what this was doing. They just didn't really know. Musicians, come around. Father, we thank You tonight. We thank You for loving us in such a great and a wonderful and a precious way. We thank You, God, for being with us here tonight in this church. We thank You for these people. God, we pray, God, tonight, these men, these women, these young folks, and these boys and girls around here tonight, God, would incline their heart towards You, God, and ask You, God, for anything and everything, God, knowing, and in Your will, You'll do it for them. You'll help them. God, You have forgiveness ready for all things in our life if we're just willing to ask You. God, help that one, those two, those three that are here tonight that don't know You, God, as Your, their personal Savior. God, that they'd trust You with all their heart, mind, body, and soul, and they'd be willing to ask
God, with everything in their being, knowing that you're willing and that you promise that if they would only ask and believe and trust, the Bible says that you will save them. God, I pray tonight you'd help it to be that way for your glory. God, for your will be done. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. Amen and amen. Amen. Everybody stand.